All right, back here on the Connor Happer Show, 16-20 the zone. Nebraska gets commitment from Chubba Purdy, a.k.a. Preston, a.k.a. the 38-pound baby. And Nebraska's quarterback room looks a little bit different than it did a month ago.
Before we get too far into this, did you think they'd get two? Like, right at the end of the season, we kind of had eyes on, well, they got to get two.
I wanted them to get two.
Sure.
I wasn't sure if they'd be able to pull it off, and especially with the quality of the second guy. Like, I think, you know, I think he got, I think he got the best possible, not necessarily the best possible for the first guy. I think they kicked tires on some others. But at the time, at the moment, Casey Thompson was the best option that you legitimately had a chance at, and you got him. And then, I don't know if it was sold this way. I don't think it was sold this way to Chubba, who I'm just going to emphasize that his name is Chubba a lot. but you know, you don't tell him that you're probably bringing him in as a backup, but that's what it looks like to me. So to get two of that quality is really dang good. I mean, you got two quarterbacks from Power Five schools. One was a starter last year, and the other one was a four-star recruit just a couple years ago, and got a little action at Florida State. And then, by the way, you still have the three on your roster that, from all accounts, they like. Logan Smothers, Heinrich Harburg, and now Richard Torres as well. So, Josh, to answer your question, I mean, maybe no is the answer. Like, I didn't think they would pull it off.
When it took so long to get one,
yeah,
I thought, okay, they'll probably still get two, but the second guy will be some guy I've never heard of from Nevada Tech State.
Well, it was really alarming, I think, when they brought in. It was, I think, one of those first visit weekends and after Adrian Martinez left, and it was they were bringing in, like, the backup quarterback from Akron.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I freaked out.
Do they see something we don't see, or are they bad evaluators of talent?
That was like a month ago, and I was like, oh, no. I'm sorry to that guy. We can't do this. No offense, but that does not make me feel very good about this process. And that's just kind of where we were at. And we'll get into this big picture thought a little bit later, but, I mean, it feels a little bit different right now. And whether you want to buy into it being good, or, you know, to what level you want to go with that, I mean, it's up to you, but the vibe has changed, the feeling has changed, and we do that around here. We get a little bit, it tends to get more Kool-Aid-y optimistic as we inch closer and closer to the season. I didn't think we'd be sitting here on January 18th though. I think they did about as well as you can do now that this thing is almost kind of wrapped up. There'll be another wave, another kind of movement after spring ball. But they've done about as well, I think, as you can do with the coaches that they got, the recruiters that they brought in, and the staff changes, and then the players that they've brought in. A lot of guys in that transfer portal, but more specifically to a quarterback. So now that room looks a little bit different. And like it or not, we talked about it about this part a little bit yesterday. Like it or not, some folks are on the clock. That's the reality of where we're at right now. Nebraska has to be competitive. It is important that they be competitive. It is urgent that they be competitive at every spot on the roster to squeeze as much juice out of this team as they possibly can, because they need to win football games this year. So what happens now? We'll see. I doubt there's any more movement at that position until after spring. But if you're asking me right now, if they go into the fall with five scholarship quarterbacks, I would tell you no, that they would not. Is it possible? Sure. I think all eyes kind of go immediately to Logan Smothers. Here's what I will say, too. I don't know if you guys have sensed this. I certainly have felt it a little bit from the fan base. There's some people in the Logan Smothers corner. There's some people that want to see the Logan Smothers thing happen. I don't know that that's abnormal for an underdog in this spot or somebody who we've seen a little bit before and we like to some degree. That's not abnormal. But the odds are against him. If I were to guess right now, it'd be Thompson and then Purdy. And then, you know, a kind of earmark on one of Harburg or Torres to be a guy later. We'll see what Harburg's progression is like. I'm really curious about that one, by the way. Possesses a lot of the physical tools, but is kind of like, you know, a wild stallion type right now. Gotta rein it all in, put it all together. But he could give you a lot, I think, of hopefully down the line if he progresses well enough. He can give you a lot down the line as far as that athleticism perspective that they want. And then the general quarterback stuff as well. But the clock's ticking. I don't think you're going to go into fall with five scholarship quarterbacks. Who's the starter? Who's the backup? Are there odds? We could set them, I suppose. Let me just ask you this then to start off. I want to hear from you guys on this at 402-951-1620. You can email Connor at 1620thezone.com, tweet at Connor Happer. Who's the most likely returner to be here? Who's the most likely guy out of Logan Smothers, Heinrich Harburg, and Richard Torres to still be here on May 1st? Is it Torres? Because nothing really changes for him. His path is still quite a bit down the line. Same type of story with Harburg, maybe with a higher ceiling. I mean, you could make an argument for all three of them. And then Smothers, who I think the path for him is that he looks a little bit different than the other two and can bring something different to the table. And we've seen his competitiveness. We've seen what he's kind of all about, at least a glimpse of it. And we've seen that people respond to him. Right? People on the team like him. That's not small. So it becomes pretty important that the Nebraska coaches really set this thing up well. Because what we've had before in situations like this is people kind of jumping into their own bandwagons, or here's who X coach brought in, and this coach likes this guy, and this section of the fan base likes the other guy because they've seen him before and they like him, or this guy is the kind of anointed one. Like, there's been examples of all of that in recent Nebraska quarterback battles. So I don't think you want to take this into the fall and not really have the expectations lined up yet. I just don't think you want to do that. I don't think you want to deal with that. Nebraska is going to need every bit of continuity that it can get. So they're not only going to have to make the decision on who's the starter earlier. I mean, maybe this is another new piece of Nebraska football that I would like to see that maybe hasn't always been there over the last 4 years. Really good communication and laid out expectations, right? And maybe that happens with the new coaching staff, with the new offensive coaching staff anyway. I think that's a part of what's hurt Nebraska over the last couple of years. We talked about it with Mitch yesterday, and just the idea that, you know, we could have these guys in the team, and there's a couple people who will say, man, I think this guy's going to have a really good year, and he should be a big piece of what we do, and then we don't see him on the field for either several weeks or the entire season. There'll be a sense that a guy is in like a top, you know, three or whatever it is at a position, and then we won't, they won't be there. Very clear and laid out expectations based on the 15 practices in spring, based on performance, right? Not politics or anything else. I would love to see that. I think it's really important in this situation. And then if you lose one or two, which is possible, after the spring, then you do. And that's part of the game. But this is the whole competition thing that we're talking about. It needs to be important to the players and laid out to the players that, hey, look, you can go out there and win this job, but you have to do it. And if you're the best at the position, then you're going to be that position. You're going to be that guy. So that's something to watch, I think, at the quarterback spot. It goes all the way throughout the team. But it's definitely something to watch at the quarterback spot, as Nebraska has now added two from the transfer portal with Power 5 experience. I love the I watched some Chuba Purdy Florida State highlights, quote-unquote. This is nothing against him. This is just what he has so far. But he was, and you look at the score bug on the bottom, and it wasn't necessarily close games any of the time. And then it's still got the music behind him and everything. You know, the high school highlight tape has just these dazzling, it's just a little bit different in the era of the portal. Maybe a little bit more clear and a little bit more easy to tell what your level of competition is. But also, I mean, think about this. I mean, if Chuba Purdy's going in the game and Florida State's down, you know, 35-3, as they were a couple times in his highlight tape, you know, what's the level of competition that you're going against there? So the speed's different. It changes. But you're maybe able to get a little bit more accurate read. You're definitely able to get a more accurate read on size. He's a big guy. He's Chuba. He's got a pretty big frame. I mean, we saw it from his brother at Iowa State. Big kid, but still moves around pretty well, can make plays with his legs, is a winner, you know, that type of guy. So we'll see. I don't currently like his odds to be the starting quarterback in the fall. I think he'd be the favorite for the number two spot at the moment. But they got to let that thing play out. We get some emails in. We got Craig emails in Connor at 1620thezone.com on the Equitable Bank inbox. Got to root for the home state guy, Harburg. And I like what he's shown us so far. Also, I think if he was from a more populated city, he would have been recruited more. I tend to think the same way with Heinrich. I think he was a pretty good but very raw talent coming out of high school. And I think there was a lot of people, because he played at Kearney Catholic, who said, well, I mean, he's a really good athlete, but he's playing quarterback. Is he going to be a tight end one day? You know, is he one of those type of, can we maybe make this guy into a linebacker or something like that? And I told him, watch him. He's a quarterback. He's a quarterback. Now, he was a quarterback at that level, for sure. And that's different than being a quarterback at this level. But everything we've heard from him is he's a quarterback. He wants to play quarterback. And there were some flashes in the stuff that we got to see last spring that made you think, woo. This could be something one day. So I don't, like, I don't want to make it. And Craig, thanks for the email, but I don't know if I want to make it into a thing where, like, we're rooting for one guy over another. I'm just saying it'll be interesting to watch it play out, because, like I said, odds are there's not going to be five scholarship quarterbacks here on May 1st. If I were to set the over under at, so scholarship quarterbacks on Nebraska's roster on, so this is after spring ball, or, you know, a few weeks after spring ball. I think May 1st is a pretty good date. If I were to set that number at 3.5, would you say over or under?
I'd go under.
Yeah, I think they could lose 2.
It would. Losing 2 makes sense. And you also need that scholarship attrition. Like, you need.
Now that's true.
Players to leave.
Now that's true.
It'd be nice if they left of their own volition versus you telling them, hey,
yeah,
walk-ons have great history here.
Right. And I don't know if you're going to want to do that with any of the quarterbacks in the room, because I think you brought each of those guys in for a reason. You know, on the attrition thing, I think they'll be okay.
It'll work itself out.
It will. There will be some natural guys, and if at the end of it you got to tell one or two, you know, it's best if you move on, then that's the deal. It's not really as serious as I probably made it out to be. It probably works itself out, like you said. If I put the number at 3.5 after spring right now, I would take the over. I think they'll lose. My guess would be that they lose 1. I guess there's a chance that they lose 0 too. But we are in for a, I feel like we say this every year. Around this time, we start getting excited. I mean, spring ball is in, about 5 weeks, believe it or not. Every time right around this year, we the roster's been put together. There's been changes, and you start to turn the corner maybe a little bit. You get rid of the last season's taste in your mouth, at least a little bit. I'm not speaking for everyone, but just a little bit. And we say, one of the things that we always say is, this is about as interesting of a spring as I can remember in a long time. And guess what? This is going to be about as interesting of a spring as I can remember in a long time. There is a lot of stuff to figure out, a lot of stuff to do, and then still decisions to be made after that. So, 5 weeks away from an intriguing one down in Lincoln. Plenty to come on the show today. As always, want to hear from you guys. Tweet at Happer Show, at Connor Happer. We'll get to your guys' thoughts after this. We still have some NFL topics that we're going to mix in there as well. We'll have NFL reaction overreaction today, but we'll also react to the Arizona Cardinals last night, who under Cliff Kingsbury decide to just never win games at the end of the year. Did you see that stat floating around?
Had not seen it until post game last night. This is a trend.
Yep. 2021, lost 5 of the last 6. Last year, 5 of the last 7. 2019, 7 of the last 9. Then you have to go back to Texas Tech. 5 out of 5 in 18. 6 out of 8 in 17. 6 out of 8 in 16. 4 out of 6 in 15. 4 out of 6 in 14. 5 out of 6 in 13. I don't know what that winning percentage is over that time, but that's an 8-year stretch. That's not very good.
Yeah,
finishing off seasons for Cliff Kingsbury.
After Halloween, this guy transforms.
Well, you know what happens after Halloween? It gets hard.
I guess.
It gets difficult. The competition goes up, especially if you're, and they've had a lot of those teams in position to be competitive for whether it's a conference title in football or, a division championship in the NFL. They've had teams that have been in position to do so. Like, it gets difficult after that. You get the target on your back.
That's true. I guess that could be what it is in the NFL. In college, it makes a little more sense because at the beginning of the year, you're playing New Jersey Institute of Technology.
Hey, Don't talk about NJIT. Those are my boys.
I did that purposefully for you. I don't believe they have a football program.
No, they don't. They need a new baseball field, though.
They do. But, yeah. And I know Kyler has had a shoulder injury on the back half of the last two seasons, which attribute it, but he looked lost from the jump.
Ultimate deer in the headlights.
Yeah.
Last night. And then you have Stafford, who's never won a playoff game until last night. And
did you know he had made the playoffs three times as a Lion fairly recently?
I would have guessed. I remember one specific.
I remember one
Stafford playoff game, but no, three. I would have taken the under on that.
It was like 11, 16, and 18, and they said that last night. I was like, really?
But there was a ton of pressure on the Rams to win that game, and they blasted Arizona. So we'll have plenty of reaction to that and just the general super wild card weekend. More to come on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone.